Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I am Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, your one-stop website for all of the day's latest church apostasy news and end-time news. Now, Trad Cat Night is featured all over the alternative media circuit, and I'm keeping you up to date as best I can on all the latest happenings from around the world as we head closer to the fruition of the Third Secret of Fatima. I ask you all, my good friends, to please subscribe to Trad Cat Night and click that notification button so you can get all of the latest videos sent directly to your email. You can now find these podcast/radio shows on SoundCloud. So Trad Cat Night is on SoundCloud now. And today I've got another great special guest, a returning guest, traditional Catholic priest who understands the crisis that we are in, this modernist crisis that we are facing. And over the past few weeks, I've been trying to tackle this topic via blogs on the website concerning hope in a hopeless world, concerning making sure we're utilizing reason over our passions. And it's certainly a topic which is the most important because it deals with our interior life. And so today I bring on none other than Father Richard Voigt. Father, how have you been? Get us caught up to date on what's the latest going on with you and your health, and we'll allow you the first 10 minutes or so to give us a little talk in this area, and then we'll kind of take it from there and dialogue.
Well, as you know, Eric, on August 9th of this year, actually last year, I had a surgery, and they fixed my mitral valve. They fixed the fibrillation AFib that I was having by putting a maze in the right aorta. So they did a great job at Mayo Clinic. I'm really grateful to them for non-invasive type surgery, but very effective. I'm right now in the process of holistic medicine, using herbals to bring back a balance in my body. And it seems to be very effective. So my energies and everything else are going up. So I'm very pleased that Almighty God has sent me these individuals. You never know where they come from, but in the circuits that we do, all of a sudden somebody comes forward and says, I can do something for you. And that's what's happening. So this weekend I will go to Houston and have my six-week checkup to see if I have a complete cellular change. So I'm really very pleased with what the good Lord has done. And last year was a year of very much as you know, you went through it too, the suffering and the pains. There's so much that we had to offer up for the salvation of souls. As Our Lady of Fatima told us, many souls are falling into hell because they have no one to pray and make a sacrifice for them. So I thank God for those who have been praying for me. And let's begin this session with a little prayer to our Blessed Mother, because she is the one who is going to pull us through all of the nonsense that we have seen and continue to see. And so we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. My 10 minutes. First, we must begin to realize that all of us are in a dilemma. And what is a dilemma? In logic, a dilemma is the two horns of a bull. In the situation of emotions right now, we have two opinions that have been around forever. There's the Stoic opinion, in which we say that the passions and the emotions are something to be denied. You don't show any type of feeling at all. There's this machoism within the society. That's the modern day Stoic. So this is one attitude, one horn of the bull, if you will. The other horn of the bull is the Epicurean type that says the passions are so good that they ennoble man and they should not be squelched or disciplined in any way, shape, or form. And especially this has come out in regards to the question of our sexuality. And so we need to have an understanding of this dilemma. We cannot grab either horn. We have to say that the answer to the dilemma is in the battling between the horn. And we want to go through these particular ideas of the passions and then how to deal with each one of them, give a schematic. So how do we find the middle road? The middle road in passions is that they are there to ennoble man, yes, but they are there to be controlled by our reason. Reason seeks truth, hence conscience. Conscience gives us the understanding of what we should do and what should we avoid. And that conscience is based upon the moral law, and that moral law is Christ. What would Christ do? What would Christ say? What would Christ think? And so the more we ask ourselves that question, the more we are entering into an eternal attitude. And that's what most important is, that we begin to take the words of God and incorporate them into our life, because every word of God will eternalize us. They create us. They give us that strength to understand that all the things in this world are passing. And no matter whether I'm in a lush position or I'm in a jail, I can always enter into the heart of hearts with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what the end result is, union with God. So let us first of all consider the 11 passions. We have 11, and these 11 are in pairs. For instance, you have love and hate, joy and sorrow, fear and daring. We have hope and despair. We have desire and aversion. And finally, we have anger. These emotions, if left to themselves, will drive a society to despair. Ultimately, reason must be there in order to guide the passions in the manner in which they incorporate in our life a power, an enthusiasm. For instance, we used to get excited about anyone who would possibly change the Holy Liturgy. In fact, in the Vendrée, and we have examples in Mexico with the Masonic battle that went on there, how the individual Catholics held on tightly to their dogmas and their faith and their sacraments. Well, they had passion. And that passion was guided by their reason, which was guided by their conscience, which was guided by the moral law, which led them to an eternal attitude and ultimately martyrdom in union with God. So we have within ourselves this dilemma going on that basically is pushing us toward only emotions. Most of the emotions that they deal with today are, as you know, that sexual emotion. That love that is out of control. We know that if sex is in the proper position, that means we have reason and conscience guiding us. We know that the church says, practice purity. Purity brings about fidelity in your relationship with individuals. Impurity brings about cheating, infidelity. And this is why when individuals shack up, they're preparing themselves to destroy one another. They are ultimately going to pay the price of sin, which is death. Death to the relationship, death to the reason, death to the conscience, death to the union with God. And that society of death is fostering itself today in our world, all over. Because we now see that emotions are taking control. Reason is out. Once reason is out, then truth and everything else falls flat. They enter into a sensuality, which basically leads them into the demonic's hands. We spoke about the four marks of the demonic in a previous episode of this Trad Cat Night. And those will repeat. First, you see the demonic in mockery. Remember at the cross, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Ha, ha, ha. Then we see the next movement of the demonic is sensuality. sensuality, we begin to find out that our sexual life is out of order, or we seek some kind of consolation. Women, eating, getting fat because of this eating constantly. We see that this sensuality is what drives people and brings them to the point where they say they just don't love themselves anymore. Next, we find anger, that emotion that should be there for us to basically attack sin, becomes an emotion that Satan uses to attack others and hence divide us from our brothers, our sisters, our faith. Finally, the mouth begins to express what is in the heart. Griping, criticism. Our Lord says, throw them out in the outside of the kingdom of God, for there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, this is what we hear in these people in their conversations. If we told them that small minds speak of people, mediocre minds things and events, but great minds speak of ideals. If we have the understanding that all things must be subordinated to reason, then we find that all things are leading us to the union with God. Now, what has happened with this liberalism when the emotions? I want to take a quote from Bishop Sheen. He has a great quote in the book Way to Inner Peace, and he states this, that submission is one of the deepest needs of the human heart. After a century and a half of false liberalism, in which it was denied that anything is true and that it makes no difference what you believe, the world reacted with totalitarianism. The world grew tired of its freedom, just as children in progressive schools grow tired of their license to do whatever they please. Freedom fatigues those who want to shirk responsibility. A person is a source of responsibility, and if that person is shirking the responsibility, that person becomes abnormal. And when the person becomes abnormal, then the dominating actions are the senses, the emotions. This is why we have to return toward normality. An individual is normal when that individual acts for a goal. Eric Gajewski acts for a goal. This Tradcat Knight acts for a goal. It shows normality. He's working toward some goal to expose what is taking place in the church, what is taking place in society, and how you as an individual might be able to conquer it by returning to reason. Bishop Sheen makes comment later on this one particular article that 15% in the world think, 25% think that they think, and 60% simply follow along, are submissive. And this is where the feedbed of communism, Nazism, fascism comes in, because we no longer have that union that we used to have with reason, common sense. St. Thomas Aquinas was the key individual for every seminarian to understand his particular position. Even he gives the greatest examples and greatest understanding of the emotions in his Summa Theologica, 1-2, question 124, article 1 and following. You can find it and you can discover great truth in St. Thomas Aquinas. And the more we return to reasoning, the more we will find our conscience being enlightened, the more our conscience will be united with the moral law, which is Jesus Christ. And then we will find ourselves seeking eternity rather than the temporality. And finally, we will experience union with Almighty God, the beatific vision. And this is what we want. So these are ideas that we need to understand. I hope that I was simple enough and clear enough, and that we can basically go from this particular discussion to the questions that Eric has for us today.
Yes, thank you, Father. And I do have, some questions here that came in from the faithful, some for myself. interesting point there by Bishop Sheen concerning the 60% who simply just don't think at all. I think that percentage holds steadfast in the conciliar church with individuals who simply aren't thinking for themselves and seeing what the church taught before Vatican II and just are relying upon quote-unquote obedience to their bishop when the bishops are now in error. So that's a very, very interesting point, Father. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, many of you are, emailing me suggesting you have a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. And I responded with a blog called Luke 23:46, and trusting yourselves into the Father's hands like Jesus. So we have to be reminded that everything that we try to claim is truly not our own. And so we're caught up in this battle, Father, between the self the selfless love, if you will. But my next question for you is this. Why, this is a philosophical question coming from someone who just emailed me recently. Why does God allow evil in the world in general, and why would he allow such an apostasy in the church?
Purification. When we go out to a vineyard, and we know that that vineyard has to produce well, it means that we have to take care of the vine and cut it back. And we have had a situation in the church in which people became complacent, comfortable, and basically at peace with the world. We are meant to be warriors, militant. We are meant to be soldiers of Christ and go about bringing others into the church in and through our efforts. Well, we have lost the passion. It's like the enemy, the communists, have the fire, and we have the truth, but we're not in flame with the truth. And so the communist is going all over making more communists because they're all right for it. They don't think any longer. They want to be basically told what to do. This is why submission, as he says, is a basic need. Yes, good submission is submission to true authority, authority that comes from Almighty God and leads back to Almighty God. Well, we don't have that in the church. We have a denial of the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ taught, and our faithful, the conciliar church faithful, are simply following the pattern. Well, we just obey the Pope and we'll get to heaven. I'm sorry. If the Pope tells me that, divorce and remarry can receive Holy Communion, I'm not going to follow him. That's all there is to it. You know, that's an error. And so there are many errors that are being presented. In fact, sin is being changed from sin to being that which is more noble than virtue. Yeah. So we have what Father Armajan writes in his book, The End of the Modern World. Remember that book, The End of the Modern World and the Future Life?
Yeah, great book.
And he says in page 98 of that book that as evil becomes good in a society, and as good becomes evil in a society, hell, which was reserved for after this life, enters now into this life. Why? Because we find out this is the way Satan treats you. Do you want to go to hell? You get tired with this world and you say, gosh, this is like hell. Well, guess what? I want to become a saint, so I avoid that place.
Right.
And so philosophically, God is trying now to make us understand what his absence is like. Yeah. You can come to God through his presence, and that's great, because if you're a saint and you stay in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament and you pray, well, then you are in a good union with a good Lord. But then there are many who are outside of his presence, doing whatever their senses tell them they want to do, shacking up, intercourse outside of marriage, all of these type of things which are basically destructive of the moral character of the individual. They're killing themselves. Well, they find out that, I drank too much on Friday, and there's a repercussion on Saturday morning, isn't there? You know what I mean?
Sure.
So evil is not a reality in a certain sense. It's a vacuum. It has to feed off that which is good. So ultimately, God permits it so that an individual or a society may realize that when we are missing God, we're missing the purpose of our very life.
Absolutely. And again, as we fly by here at Tradcat Night, being an eagle of our times, having the wings of faith and hope to be able to embrace these winds of adversity coming. And of course, the eagle is the only bird which does not seek to flee from the storm. It seeks to utilize these adversities and winds, if you will, to fly above the storm. So God is trying to utilize these crosses as opportunities for you to advance in holiness and sanctification. And yet we only see kind of, the flip side of the coin. Sure, go ahead.
The negative. And I had a class one time and I said, you know, every time we sin, we're proclaiming atheism. We're saying God isn't there, when in reality, God is everywhere. So I won't sin because if I know that God is present, that's why St. John Bosco in his schools always put up placards that said, God sees me, God is here, you know, and so forth.
Yeah.
And the young men would read that, you know, and it helps you realize that, you know, I shouldn't be doing these things because God sees. Maybe nobody else will see, but God does see.
Now, another question for you, Father, is quite synonymous lately coming through my email. A lot of people coming from the Conciliar Church now beginning to see everything that we've been saying now for quite some years concerning this apostasy in the church, and they're finding it very, very difficult to process. Do you have any pastoral advice, suggestions, maybe digest the information a little more slowly, pray an extra rosary? What should the faithful be doing once they come to the realization, oh my goodness, it is this bad? Because I kind of likened it, Father, to a man being married to, his wife for 10 years and walking in on her, sleeping with someone else. You see it happening in front of you, but you just don't want to believe it.
The best advice I can give them is to turn to our Blessed Mother, who is the one who conquers all heresies. And to really, I would say, suggest to them the Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort and meditate upon that and read that so carefully that you begin to become devoted more and more to our Blessed Mother. So you pick up not only the Rosary, but you pick up her litany and you pick up different devotions that you'll come through and say, I want to do this, you know, I want to become a true son or daughter of Our Lady, because then you have someone who is the best insurance policy you can possibly have. And ultimately, the love of our Blessed Mother is what's going to bring us through this whole mess. And sooner or later, the consecration of Russia will take place, as it ought to take place, with all of the bishops in their own place, saying at the same time, we consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother. And then everyone will know that this change in the world came about because of Our Lady. So,
yeah.
You know, right now, what do you have in the apostasy and the heresies of the Conciliar Church? You have that which is prodding the entire populace to begin to say, what is the truth? You know, and ultimately, when they come to see that the Catholic faith has been robbed from us and that we must now fight for it, well, then hopefully they have the passions following the reason, following the conscience, following the moral law, and entering into that eternal attitude. Fight for heaven, you know. I'm doing it with my own brothers. I mean, good grief. They're all infected with this relativism that we just spoke about and this liberalism. And so the end result of that is totalitarianism. We as Americans don't want to go underneath communism, but we certainly have been pushed there.
Well said. Absolutely, Father. And to kind of piggyback off of that question, if we can, what can the faithful do who don't have a proper church, if you will? That's many. The majority have a church or don't have churches that are not following Vatican II. So what can the faithful do? Because many of them have true intentions. I want to get to Mass every week. I can only speak for myself. I would like to get to Mass daily if I could. But that simply is not, you know, not the opportunity anymore. And what was interesting, Father, I was reading Padre Pio's letters over the past 6 months, which has been some great direction over the past, let's say, about 6 months or so. And Padre Agostino, when he was speaking to Padre Pio, who was unable to even say Mass himself because of his own health, reminded him that spiritual communions can be better than sacramental communions. You will notice how I said can be, not that in general they are, but it's just a matter of the disposition of heart. So maybe you could speak to the faithful a little bit more who are just absolutely distraught that they can't find a community near them. We're kind of spread thin, I guess.
It's funny that just recently I received a email from Patriots. You know, there's a group that basically wants to regain the patriotic attitude. And so there is a group that apparently is forming, and basically they purchased thousands of acres out in the West, and they're calling on people that want to establish a true American community. And it's interesting that here they see it from the political perspective. Now, what about we who are in the spiritual? Archbishop Lefebvre said, if possible, get to the country and, you know, get around priests in the country and reform with good large families and establish yourselves in a particular place. St. Mary's in Kansas is an example of that, you see. Well, I think that, like, I am very fortunate as a priest to be able to offer the Mass every day. And I have my little chapel, and it's open. Anybody that wants to come can come, you know. But even the trads, the traditionals in my area, you know, they end up not coming to daily Mass, but rather only coming to Sunday Mass. As if, well, that's enough. So we're finding that, you know, the urgency is not there yet. There's, it's like God has to take away everything. Yes. Does he take away, you know, so that all of a sudden we begin to realize what we're lost. I mean, I used to, every Lent when we were kids, Mass every day, stations on Friday. Well, that's no longer happening at all, right? We've got maybe one Mass a week, if people are lucky, that is a true Mass, a Mass of the angels, Gregorian Mass. What they have in the Novus Ordo is a sacrilegious ad experimentum. This is something that not many have spoken about, and I'd like to speak about it. The Novus Ordo has produced an ad experimentum worship, which basically turns to man, worshiping man and man's achievements rather than God and God's achievements. And so the consequence is the individual who wants to go to Mass every day ends up in the conciliar church and openly finds that there's sacrilege here, there, and everywhere, with the individual laity taking and holding the host, you know, and so forth, that has all been condemned, and yet here they are. They're forced into these type of situations. Absolutely. What can they do? What can they do? One, I agree with Padre Pio that a sacramental or a spiritual communion is very effective, because it means that I took the time to put myself in the presence of God and to recall a communion that I had maybe on Sunday or whatever. But I can keep in the presence of God, and then from that I can openly change my life by reading maybe the daily Word of God and asking yourself, how might I put this into practice in my own life right here and right now? Or have a Sunday reflection. Keep reading and reflecting on the Sunday Gospel every day for 1 week, and many things will open up in your heart and your soul. Pray the Rosary as you're reading the Gospel, and then you'll have a birthing. You'll have your heart giving birth to Christ. So all of the sacramentals are still within our grasp, and we need to make more use of them.
That's very well said. I would argue for myself what you have just said in terms of God taking everything away as being a possibility. That certainly happened in my own life, wherein you literally took everything away. You know, girlfriends, yeah. homes, jobs, health, until I finally realized what was important. And it took several years on a bed of suffering to finally realize that. And I argue that that's essentially what the world and the church in general is about to go through in this dark night of the church, dark night of the soul, which to some degree we're already going through, as you know. But my next question for you, Father, and feel free to go any direction that you would like with this, is concerning the message of Fatima, why it's still so important. You already touched upon Russia, but of course Our Lady said in the end that her Immaculate Heart would triumph, and ultimately amidst all of the calamities, so to speak, with the spiritual chastisement of the church and the material chastisements coming, that ultimately it's a message of faith and hope. And it's quite ironic that recently, someone that I've had on my show, Father, you might not realize this, but there was a Protestant individual that made a documentary that went out to the public suggesting that the Fatima message was demonic, that the miracle of the sun was demonic and came from UFOs and all of this nonsense. And I actually had this individual on my show, and I tried to talk some sense to him about 6 months ago, but apparently he went ahead with this documentary. And now he's really done the public wrong by now suggesting that this message is demonic, when Our Lady was simply trying to warn us of this apostasy in the church and worldwide communism. And it just doesn't make sense on any level. But maybe a little bit more about the Fatima message and hope, you know, the hope that our Lady will bring to this world. And she does.
Oh, yes. That is the issue that is most important, that we turn to her, because her words were very, very insignificant. She showed those children hell, because today we don't think that there is a hell. I have brothers that say everybody gets to heaven. And we have a pope that said, Pope John Paul II, who said that because Jesus became man, all people are redeemed. Universal salvation. We have all of these heretical notions, even coming from the highest sources. And now we have the answer of Our Lady. Many souls are falling into hell because we Catholics are not Catholic. We should be praying and making sacrifice day by day. I preach this every time I get into Mass with people. How many souls have you saved? Saved soul? I don't know. How many souls have you saved? How many times have you got up in the morning and said, Lord, give me a sacrifice today that I might save a sinner's soul that it could fall into hell, but I want to pray and sacrifice for that sinner? Just focus on one. And find, during the day, God will give you a sacrifice, a little difficulty, a little action that you, well, is not so convenient, but I'll do this for this other person, you know? Or I'll be kind to my brother or my sister. I tell these little boys, you know, be kind to one another. And that's a sacrifice you can offer to save a soul of a sinner. You know, from the littlest person who's a Catholic to the oldest, there are sacrifices in everyone's day that can be used to save a soul. And I think that this is the devotion we need to have in these modern times, because these people are, sinners are not really open, or their eyes are closed to the reality that they're going to have in hell. Somebody has to take up and pay the price for them. Every soul has a price tag. And so I think Our Lady has been telling us, get out there, and as Catholics, you can do something. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Now, if salt becomes insipid, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Well, maybe that's why we're Catholics being trampled underfoot, because we're not being soul savers. And I think that that is the message that Fatima brings to us, a great message of hope, because it means that I can do something. I can have every day of my life, I can save a soul, maybe two or three. But the fact is that when I go before Almighty God in the judgment seat, those souls that were saved by my prayer and sacrifice are going to hug me and embrace me and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I would have been in hell but for your sacrifice, your prayer. Then you'll feel pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And selfless love would dictate that that's the primary mission of this apostolate, of course, is to save souls. And so I suggest to everyone today, as Father has reiterated, to offer yourself up in union as a victim. And I know Father is also a proponent of the devotion of the seven sorrows. So when you're praying the rosary, make sure you're praying it through the eyes of Mary, seeing it as she sees things. And again, the Fatima message is just absolutely crucial to our times. And I want to make a kind of a final point here, Father. I'll let you piggyback off of it, and then we'll close in prayer and we'll close it out because we're at 35 minutes already. But in rereading The Imitation of the Christ today, Book 3, Chapter 29, we have a chapter by Thomas Kempis. In tribulation, we call and bless God rather than fall into despair, doubt, worry, and curse God and all of that stuff. And it actually ties in with a scripture I was reading today from the Psalms, Psalms 21:5, wherein David speaks, "In thee have our fathers hoped, they have hoped, and they were delivered." So God wants us to turn to him and have faith and hope in these times so that we can realize that God is not man. Man has enthroned himself on his own throne, so to speak. And ultimately, that's going to be the religion of Antichrist Maitreya, is this religion of self, as he puts it. I just put this out, Father. I don't know if you got the email.
I got it.
Did you see what he said in 2008? That he will come out publicly and proclaim to the world that men are gods.
Yeah.
I mean, he's open about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is something. This is really something. You know, it's the satanic activity is just going as fast as it can because it knows its time is short. The crushing of that head of Satan is on the horizon, and I just can't pray enough that it comes soon, because our people are just in a quandary. They don't know where to go, what to do. And so we have to turn to Our Lady, and we have to continue with the prayer of the Holy Rosary, because that is what has basically kept and held back the hand of God from just completely destroying everything that man does, putting him back on his, his humble hind legs, you know. We are now in a particular situation where people can do many things. There is a movement among people almost unilaterally that say that we have nothing more in our higher ups but corrupted individuals. They see the corruption. They know that it's in Hollywood, it's in our political scene. They know everything that is out there is not helping them gain what they really want, which is eternal life. And so you have a great opportunity in and through the radio programs to educate and bring these souls back to Almighty God. And, you know, we have wounds. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, I just, a poem keeps coming to my mind in that regard, but I escaped his fingers, I slipped his feet, I ran and hid for him I feared to meet. One day I passed him fettered on a tree, neither by speed nor strength could he grasp me. And so I said, "I'll set you free." "Nay," said he, "take this cross and follow me, not hard nor grievous if you bear it tight." And so did I follow him who could not move, an uncaught captive in the hands of love. So there's where we're at. Everything is leading us to the cross, and the cross will reconcile everything, and we will find the kingdom of heaven, and we'll say, who cares about the suffering we had in that earth? What that God has prepared for us who love him is just beyond what we could imagine, but it's tremendous. So keep your eyes focused on eternity. Don't get stuck with all this temporality. It will pass.
Amen. Yeah, that's one thing that I try to preach here at Tradcat Night, is to keep your eyes on the rainbow, which is just beyond the storm. And we can't get to that rainbow unless we go through the storm first.
Right.
So that's what we have to do, folks. I ask you all to continue to keep Father in prayer, his health in prayer, his apostle, and all the great work that he's doing. We fly by the motto here at Tradcat Night in relation to prayer, as to be praying for these five P's: the Pope, for prelates, for priests, for souls in purgatory, and for poor sinners. And Father, I certainly appreciate all the work that you are doing. Again, those who are seeing this apostasy clearly are few and far between. And Father's up there in Minnesota, correct, Father? And you're still
yes.
up there, you know, battling it out and winning souls for Christ and for the church, and out there bravely distributing the sacraments. And it's tough times, folks. And here's a priest mm-hmm. who's willing to put himself out there, sacrifice his own health. And we have to be praying for priests. That is the bottom line. Father, I'll give you the last word here. We do have to get going here in a minute. I'll close it out with a just the ending to the program, and we'll get this posted as soon as I can.
Well, a simple reminder. Emotions are great. They are important for us to be used by reason, according to the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, which constitutes our conscience, and it will, in the end, give us the power to achieve eternity and to be united in the beatific vision. And in that, we will all be one. And so let us keep, as Eric has said, our hope alive, our faith, increase it, study, know what is taking place, and pray for each and every one of those P's that we have mentioned. And let us ask Almighty God to bless each and every one of you who are listening to this. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et mani et semper. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for tuning in to Tradcat Night Radio, folks. Make sure you get to tradcatnight.blogspot.com daily. I ask you all, in your charity, we fly by the motto of we go and grow as your charity flows. So please click that PayPal button. Get behind this apostolate. I, through your donations, actually try to distribute from time to time some money out to priests and you know who are out there in the battle and just in general for those less fortunate. So please do get behind this apostolate. And who will tomorrow's special guest be? Well, tune in and find out. And today was a very, very special program, and I appreciate Father coming on. And as I said, as an eagle, keep your wings spread in faith and hope and your eyes wide in charity. Try to see things as God sees them, not as how we want to see them. And until next time, stay safe and God bless.